The other paper I wanted to ask you about relating to the issue of adjuvant chemotherapy is we had seen the data first presented, and now it's been published in the JCO from the so-called ABC trials looking at anthracycline. Seems like in a lot of ways we kind of gotten beyond some of these questions, but some of these trials are still reporting. What did they look at here? And from your point of view, what did it mean?
I actually thought that was an impressive data set. We have these old data that were comparing anthracyclines to non-anthracycline chemotherapy, and some of them did show a slight benefit to anthracyclines. And if you look at the Oxford overview, which did a meta-analysis of many of those trials, there was a slight benefit to anthracyclines. But a lot of people weren't quite sure about that. A lot of those older trials included HER2-positive patients not treated with trastuzumab. So we know that anthracyclines are an effective drug in that population. So I do think that despite the fact that this is 2017, that the anthracycline question was still a little bit up in the air, especially given that there was this randomized trial comparing AC versus TC, which seemed to show a little benefit against anthracyclines. So I think it was an open question. I think the investigators of the ABC consortium did a nice thing. They took three different trials, all of which were relatively small, and they did a combined analysis. And by doing that, we got enough patients, I think a little bit over 4,000 patients, to be able to make a conclusive result rather than three inconclusive results, which I think is probably what would have happened. So what they did is they combined three trials that all compared a TC, or docetaxel cyclophosphamide regimen, six cycles, versus various anthracycline taxane regimens in a mix of ER-positive and triple-negative breast cancers. And this was a non-inferiority analysis, trying to show that a non-anthracycline regimen was non-inferior to a anthracycline taxane. And what they found was that the TC regimen did not meet the non-inferiority boundary. In fact, it was statistically inferior. But interestingly, essentially all of that benefit was in triple-negative patients and high-risk ER-positive patients, which, again, I think is consistent with what some of the previous studies have shown, but it really was nice to have it fairly in concrete terms. So I think the bottom line is if you have a high-risk patient, particularly a triple-negative patient, it makes sense to still use an anthracycline. For lower-risk patients, there does not seem to be a added benefit to using anthracyclines, and using a non-anthracycline regimen is very reasonable.
I don't know exactly what the statistical rules were here in this study, but I've been trying to see whether there's a hazard rate. I'm not sure if they were allowed to get one, but I mean, the absolute difference was actually extremely small. In your mind, and maybe it's in the paper and I don't see it here, what's the hazard rate for improvement when you add an anthracycline?
And again, I don't remember exactly the number, but the hazard rate was around 1.2 something, I think. But I think what's important is that you have to look at the subsets. And although there was not a strict interaction term, if you looked specifically within the ER-positive population, all the benefit was in the node-positive ER-positive, not in the node-negative ER-positive, and the benefit was in triple-negatives. And within those groups, the benefit was more substantial than in the overall population, which, as I said, the hazard rate, I think, was around 1.2 or 1.22 or something.
It kind of seems like it's falling into that modest improvement that you can barely detect. But from your own global sense, without giving me a scientific answer, because, you know, kind of 20% reduction is about as low as you can get and still be there. But it sounds like you believe it's greater with, for example, triple negative.
Right. I think, and again, we're always, I think, more comfortable accepting something that confirms what you already believe, which probably isn't the best way to look at data. But you're right. I mean, I think the overall difference was very modest, as you said, but within the high-risk patients, the benefit seemed to be more substantial.